This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. What does ring number 7 mean to Brady's legacy? Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
He is the greatest football player to ever play, you know, and I can tell my kids I play with that man, and I'm just blessed.
We knew we were playing a great football team tonight, and we got the job done, so it's hands down one of the greatest accomplishments in sports history.
Well, let's hear it straight from the goat's mouth. What does the 7th title mean to your legacy, Tom?
Man, we've been grinding pretty hard, so I haven't really had a lot of time to think about all the, you know, things like that. So I'm just blessed, grateful for my teammates, all the people that have supported us all year. You know, it's been a great year.
Translate. Here's the translation. I don't want to talk about me. That would hurt my GOAT legacy. GOATs should be humble. Here's the thing. Bill Russell was the ultimate winner, 11 championships as a player, right? Was it 13 altogether? But also, you know, as an amateur and pro, 21 times it came down to here's the game that decides the champion. Here's the deciding game. Bill Russell wasn't 19-2 or 18-3. He's 21-0. When it came down to it, his team never lost. If it came down to it. If it came down to the deciding game, his team never lost. And he would give you 30 points, 40 boards in that game. And like Tom Brady's like Bill Russell in that way, in the sense that Russell won so many championships, it's like no one was ever going to catch that. So we had to kind of redefine what the most would be in the modern era. Magic had 5. Kareem had 6, but he wasn't a wing player, and we started thinking of wing players as the guys, right? And Jordan won 6. And now LeBron's chasing 6. Kobe got to 5. LeBron's on 5. Brady's on 7. You know, Bill Russell got 11. Yogi Berra got 10. But those leagues were not nearly as diverse, including with international players and competition. And as a result, those universes were smaller. From a smaller pool of potential athletes, you get a weaker league. Not as many great players. The NBA, when Bill Russell played, had very few players on it, and it was sort of the pre-modern game. Pre-absorption of the ABA teams, pre-three-point shot. Like shot clock, three-point shot, absorption of the ABA teams. Like there's all these kind of markers of when the modern game started. Bill Russell played before then, and he played with very few teams and very few any international players, really. It was before the game had been kind of homogenized and competitive balance was kind of, the league tried to enforce that sort of thing. And it was easier with smaller sample sizes. You have greater outliers. Like, for example, if you flip the coin 10 times, you might get 8 heads and 2 tails. If you flipped it 100 times, the odds that you would get it 80-20 are very low. You probably and the more you flip the coin, the closer to 50-50 you get. Even as the actual number increases. But I won't get into statistics. But the point is, so when you have fewer people involved, fewer games played, fewer teams, you have greater deviation from the mean. So Babe Ruth, when he's playing against, you know, guys with part-time jobs in the offseason and all that kind of stuff, where there's no real organized little league and no second and third generation athletes training their kids and stuff, it's on kind of some kind of systematic way, there's and it's easier to dominate as Babe Ruth did. He's the greatest. He's Barry Bonds plus, you know, Fernando Valenzuela. He's both combined. No one's ever going to do that again. But then again, it's not as easy to do it now as it was then. Bill Russell, same thing. But when you look at Brady, he's in an era where it's supposed to be really hard to do that, where you do have a more homogenized product with lesser kind of crazy deviations from the mean. Because you have many more people involved. You have organized training, generations of it. You know, Pop Warner on up. And so you're not supposed to be able to do what Brady's done. He's got 7. And again, there's a real chance he winds up with at least 8. If he plays another couple, 2-3 years, at least, given the powerhouse the Bucks are, could wind up with eight. With eight. You know how crazy it is? Do you remember, like, I try to think for historical parallels when a high-flying offense was beaten, right? And I go back to the greatest show on turf. That was from a bygone era already. St. Louis Rams and that high-flying offense, they lost to the Patriots. And Tom Brady, it was 20 years ago. It's a different era. He beat the Chiefs yesterday. Within the last 24 hours of this broadcast right now, he just beat the Chiefs. And 20 years ago, he beat the greatest show on turf. It's insane, the longevity. When you talk about the greatest of all time, Yogi Berra is a guy, like the greatest winners of all time. Yogi Berra is a guy who doesn't get discussed a lot. New York Yankees catcher. 10 World Series championships. As the cleanup hitter for most of that time. And catcher. Which all the pitchers who came to the Yankees got better, had career years throwing to Yogi Berra. And Berra also hit well enough to be a three-time MVP and hit cleanup in a lineup with Mickey Mantle in it. Right? Like, Berra was super great, won 10 championships. Bill Russell, I've mentioned. Tom Brady. Like, when you talk about the greatest winners in the history of American team sports, it kind of comes down to that, doesn't it? Bill Russell, Yogi Berra, Tom Brady. But Bill Russell and Yogi Berra played, you know, Berra played shortly after integration. Not really integration, just the breaking of the color line in baseball. The game was still not integrated. Yankees didn't have a black player until Elston Howard. And I'm not just talking about from a moral point of view. Well, it's a pre-modern. I mean, when you exclude a huge chunk of the population, you're less likely to get as many good players. So again, in a smaller set, in a smaller pool, you have great. It's easier to be amazing. By the way, it's easier to have players who really stink too. Like, you'll notice the worst players, and they're like, "Oh, PU, how'd he make the league?" And the best players do incredible stuff. But Brady's playing in an era where it's harder to do that, and yet he's doing the Yogi Berra, he's doing the Bill Russell, and by the way, he's putting up crazy numbers while he's winning. Andy Reid, meantime, the head coach of the losing team, who were very undisciplined. What a sloppy performance by the Chiefs, although I suppose you could say they were sloppy throughout last year's playoffs when they had to keep coming back from double digits, and the year before when a defensive pre-snap penalty handed Tom Brady the ball back at basically the game was over. So they've been sloppy before. This game in particular was sloppy, not only with drop passes, three of which were in the end zone, another one for a big chunk play on a third down, but also with penalties, 120 yards in penalties. Andy Reid, Chiefs head coach, of course, at the press conference postgame.
I don't want to tell you they're not tough, but I tell you I could have done a better job of putting our guys in a better position. They fought their tail off. The guys never gave up. I mean, these are champions, and just the fact that they were able to get themselves back to this fight, you know, fighting like crazy to get here. It was a bad day to have a bad day, but I'm not going to lay it on the offensive line. When we lose, we all lose together on this.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, it's a team. The offensive line is part of the team, but not for the coach to say that. But if you want to analyze the game, of course it was the offensive line. And by the way, it's not that they played poorly. The offensive line did as well as they could under the circumstances. But they're backups. Three of them are backups at both tackle spots. So your left tackle's protecting your blind side. A lot of times the right tackle's blocking for the run. And you're missing another guy too. And another backup. I mean, it's rough. And that was really the key to the game. It was a line of scrimmage mismatch. Marcus Spears joins me now on the Goodyear Hotline. Marcus, are you there?
What's up, my brother?
So, Marcus, what I was just saying is it comes down to I thought the Chiefs were going to stage a comeback to win the game. I thought that going in. I thought the Bucs should have been favored, but Mahomes would be Superman and lead them to a comeback. He was Superman, but they didn't come back. Superman was not enough. And I say it comes down to the mismatch at the line of scrimmage, particularly the Chiefs' offensive line. What do you say?
You're 100% right, Max. And I feel dumb for not picking the Tampa Bay Bucks based on all of the things I know about football, man. I just got I got enamored with what we've seen Patrick Mahomes do, what we've seen him overcome, and in which high regard we held him that I forgot principles of football. Like, if you can't protect him, he gonna look average. And if you don't have the explosive plays, as the Kansas City Chiefs against the Bucs, I should have reminded myself that that same Bucs defense actually figured Kansas City out in the first game that they met, because they only gave up 7 points in the second half. They fixed and adjusted a lot in that second half in week 12 when they faced them, showed up in this Super Bowl, as crazy as that sounds. So it was physical domination, man. It was a line of scrimmage win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
While you're on that topic, Marcus, I want to make two comments. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Number one is I thought Mahomes looked far from average. I think Mahomes looked spectacular. Mahomes hit DeMarcus Robinson in the end zone with a pass that maybe only Aaron Rodgers could have even gotten off. In his hands in the end zone, dropped it. He hit Travis Kelce for a third down 16-yard chunk play, dropped it in his hands. He hit two different receivers. The first one was a miracle play, Tyreek Hill through his hands and in his face in the end zone. And in the other end zone, going the other way, was one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. It reminded me of the Odell catch, like, oh my God, I'm never going to forget that. Was evading pressure, was running a million steps. Remember, he ran, what was it, 500 yards behind the line of scrimmage trying to get out of these. And delivered a pass, again, to the face, parallel to the ground, to the face of the receiver in the end zone. That's 21 points by my count, Marcus. He looked amazing. He needed a little help. Now, and what I want to say about Todd Bowles, to take no credit away from him, but Marcus, everyone's talking about like he had this genius game plan. Well, he didn't blitz, even though he likes to blitz. He kept it in front of him. Why would you need to blitz when you're getting pressure on over 50% of the dropbacks without blitzing? You don't need to blitz. They didn't need to. So listen to these two numbers and tell me what you think. Number one, Mahomes faced more pressure than any quarterback in Super Bowl history. 29 out of 56 dropbacks faced pressure. And they blitzed less than any defense in Super Bowl history under 10% of the time. What that means is you're always on the run and no one's ever open. I mean, that's what Mahomes was up against. Why is Bowles getting so much credit for playing two high safeties and not blitzing?
He's getting so much credit because he took advantage of what Kansas City was going to do. And that was try to protect their offensive line and be big, explosive downfield. And I'm with you, Mac. Like, the game, the score might have been 38-0 if Patrick Mahomes wasn't the quarterback. I agree. He definitely showed us time after time why we think of him in that way. But Bowles is getting credit because of what we think about Kansas City and their offense. Now, I agree with you. Like, some of that is just attrition, right? The offensive line issues, going up against one of the best pass-rushing defenses. But it's also some nuanced things he did, man. He blitzed a corner. You do not do that against Patrick Mahomes, but Todd Bowles did it because he wanted to speed up operation. He allowed Levante David and Devin White speed to help him in underneath coverage to make Patrick Mahomes pull the ball down in certain situations.
By the way, it helps to have linebackers who can do everything like those guys.
100%. Like, and so, look, you know me, man. I've even said this about Brady. Like, you could be a great coach, but the execution, if you don't have players, you can coach your tail off and not win games. Todd Bowles put together a plan that highlighted every possible great player that he had on defense. And I think that's the credit that he deserves.
Like, I think he deserves credit too, Marcus. So don't get me wrong. But talking to Marcus Spears here on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, I think Bowles did an excellent job. I'm just saying, from a basic point of view, if I'm the defensive coordinator for the Bucs, guess what I'm not doing? I'm not blitzing, and I'm keeping two safeties deep, whether it's zone or man, right? Like, that much I'm doing anyway. Like, going in, the Chiefs weren't prepared for that. I mean, the issue to me is there's no preparation for it. If your offensive line which, by the way, I think played pretty well. They played as well as they could, given the talent. But if your offensive line, to a man, is getting beaten by every assignment they have because the other dude's just a physical mismatch, what are you going to do? Like, what can you do about that? They got dominated.
I'm with you. That's why I brought up Week 12 when the Chiefs' offensive line wasn't ravaged and they only scored seven points in the second half after adjustments by Todd Bowles and their defense. So it wasn't – look, we all know what the Kansas City Chiefs were dealing with, and we all – like, not we. Let me step – I was an idiot for thinking that Patrick Mahomes could overcome something I've never seen overcome in the NFL. But that is what Patrick Mahomes set us
right.
up.
Marcus, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. What I said heading into the game was the Bucs should be favored. Not only are they at home, but they're playing against a decimated offensive line. And what I kept saying, the reason the Chiefs were favored, if it was any other quarterback in history, including Tom Brady, they'd have been the underdogs, the Chiefs. I kept saying leading up to the game, people don't even realize how good they believe Mahomes is. They're not even really aware of it. And I think, if anything, Marcus, he lived up to it. Like, he did things I will never forget in yesterday's game. It didn't matter. The guys weren't making catches. What do you want? You want to catch the ball and play defense too?
Right, right. And we can get into some philosophical stuff, like the coaching staff let him down. I think they panicked early in that game. I think they felt like they were getting blown out when the scoreboard was actually super close by dropping back and throwing the ball so much. They should have tried running the football. I don't care that Tampa Bay was the number one defense in the league against the run. Look, Todd Bowles, any other defensive coach are going to look great when they know you dropping back every damn play as well. You put your offensive line back against the wall. I don't care if your offensive line is good.
Marcus, so the Chiefs played good defense early, and then what happened? The Bucs went to the run a couple times. It loosened things up,
exactly.
To your point. Yep.
Exactly. It just would have loosened things up. It would have probably slowed some of that rush that was going on up front. It just snowballed, man. And Tampa was clearly the better team from a personnel standpoint, dealing with what they dealt with on the offensive line. And then defensively at the line of scrimmage, they got whooped. The Kansas City defensive line got whooped.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Sorensen got destroyed by Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Gronk was so good in so many facets of that game. And the Bucs' offensive line's been elite all year. Marcus, before I let you go, not that this would have changed the outcome of the game, but I believe it did change it into a blowout. What did you think of the refs calling? I thought the hold call when Tyrann Mathieu had the interception was ticky-tack. I didn't really see a hold there. Even technically, if you really look at it closely, I really didn't see it. The PI call, that was not a catchable ball, pretty obviously. They called PI. And not that, again, I'm not saying that, the refs changed the game. But 31-9 might have been something more like 20-something to the teens had it not been for the refs.
Yeah.
What did you think of the refs' job?
Yeah, I thought the refs were too involved early. I don't agree with you. I think on that Mike Evans PI call, that was the right call. The foot got tripped up, Max. Like that's an easy call. Like not being catchable, the refs would tell you because he was tripped. That's why it didn't look catchable. The bad one was the Tyrann Mathieu over Mike Evans' head in the end zone. Because a defensive player has a right to that space as well as an offensive guy. And I just didn't think the contact was enough to warrant a PI call, which eventually they would, you know, obviously get down to the goal line. And I don't think they scored on that possession, but it gave them three, if I'm not mistaken. But it's just, look, man, this was not about the refs. It was not about anything, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers whooped the Chiefs on the line of scrimmage. Bro.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's nothing about it. That's what the game was heading into. You had a mismatch on the line of scrimmage, and the more this game changes, the more it stays the same. If you got a push up front in the middle by your defensive tackles, and you got guys who can rush the quarterback off the edges, and you can get pressure with four, your chances of winning the game are extremely high. especially when Mahomes can't bank on, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo missing Emmanuel Sanders. You know, you can't, Brady ain't going to miss that pass. The great Marcus Spears, ladies and gentlemen, you can check him out on NFL Live. That's a good show. Mina Kimes and Marcus and everyone's Dan Orlovsky. You guys are killing it. That's Marcus Spears on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Even in a loss, by the way, Mahomes did something yesterday that was just unbelievable. Here's the good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet that demand. You don't have IT experience, right? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants, by the way, covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Wait till you hear this stat on Mahomes from yesterday. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, penalties play a big part. You know what I mean? Penalties play a big part.
Holding. Number 35.
Interception on 3rd and 4, wiped out.
The over-under on penalties call was 10.5, and I knew it was going to be over.
Offside, number 20, defense.
Wow, Antonio Hamilton. Offensive pass interference? No, Tyrann Mathieu. They'll put this at the 1 yard line.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Hear that? That's Party and BS, how I can put it, by Biggie Smalls. I heard that in Who's the Man. Let's see Who's the Man in the movie theater way back in the day. And when I heard this song come on at the end of the movie, I really thought that Kool G Rap was writing for KRS-One. And kids, if that sounds like I'm speaking a foreign language, go ask your dad. I was like, "Ooh, Kool G Rap's writing for KRS-One? That's the greatest thing ever." And that's right. Biggie was the GOAT. His career didn't last long enough. But his peak, oof. Speaking of GOATs, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, did we just hear the sound from 106.5 The Wolf? Was that what that was from? Yes, there you go. Crediting 106.5 The Wolf. Not for what I said, but for the sound you heard, of course. By the way, here's the stat I was going to tell you about Patrick Mahomes. So, Patrick Mahomes faced more pressure than any quarterback in Super Bowl history, pressured on 29 of 56 dropbacks. He was blitzed, I believe, the lowest number in Super Bowl history, under 10% of the time. He ran for nearly 500 yards. Next Gen Stats had this number, and I saw it quoted at first on CBS Online, I think, CBS.com. 497 yards before throwing or getting sacked. And Seth Walder of ESPN.com cites the Next Gen Stats. 497 yards before throwing the ball or being sacked on Sunday night. It was the highest total for any quarterback in the 2020 season. He ran for 500 yards just to throw the ball or not throw the ball? But the fact that he only got sacked 3 times is amazing. Do you understand? He should have had 3 touchdown throws. At least, because he didn't even get a chance on the ticky-tack holding call against, you know, that negated the Mathieu interception. But he hit 2 receivers in the face, in the end zone, and 1 in the hands. And all 3 dropped the pass, couldn't hold the ball. And, or failed to even really get their hands on it fully. And all 3 passes came after he was running for his life with no time. Patrick Mahomes on what Tampa did to give him trouble on offense.
Not really any. They had a good game plan. They kind of took away our deep stuff. They took away the sidelines, and they did a good job of rallying to the football and making tackles. We weren't executing early. I had a few miscues. We weren't on the same page. But I mean, credit to them, man. They played a heck of a game defensively and offensively and beat us.
Let's get to some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Bobby in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go. All right, this is how it's going to work. If people take too long, I'm just going to get to the next call. I can't wait all that. Bobby in Michigan. Bobby in Michigan. I just got to go. I presume that the callers are being prepped. Is this true, Brendan? Do they know to go when I say hello?
Oh, they know to go.
Well, in that case, go, Bobby. No, I mean, go away. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. You took too long.
Bobby
Taj
Phil.
In Maryland. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, Max? I'm a big fan of the show, but I got a good question for you.
Yeah.
What if LeBron reaches 12 NBA finals and wins 7 titles? Would that classify him in the GOAT conversation?
Yo, he's up there already. Look, it depends on what you mean by GOAT. What I mean is someone sustained a peak for a good amount of time, right? Not just a year or two. Not Dwight Gooden in 1985 or Ron Guidry in 1978. A 1 year like, oh my God, it's a really good player, but whoa, that's one of the best seasons I've ever seen. But like Sandy Koufax, 4 seasons in a row like that, or you know, better yet, a player who can sustain some crazy peak for 10 years. Michael Jordan has the highest peak in my view, and he sustained it long enough to call him the GOAT. And whenever he had a single other all-star, he won the championship in under 7 games. However, you might say, well, that's fine, but my definition of GOAT is I'm drafting someone to start their career. I want to win as many championships as possible. Even if you think Michael Jordan's peak was a little higher than LeBron's, LeBron sustained it for twice as long. I think that makes him the GOAT. So yeah, if LeBron gets 7 chips in 12 finals trips, there will be plenty of people who consider him the GOAT, and by a certain definition, he probably already is. Just not my definition. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, Kansas City was not up to playing yesterday. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid should have handed over the realms to Eric Bieniemy. Andy Reid should have been with his son and with the family of the 2 kids that they put in the hospital. He had no mindset to be in that game. He would have been it would have been a better service to the Kansas City Chiefs, the organization, the president of the team, the owner of the team.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't want to be critical of someone choosing to be a professional. You know, I get the argument on both sides of that. There's a tragedy, a life tragedy that seems to outstrip the importance of a game, whether it's for, you know, moral or ethical reasons, or your conscience is telling you shouldn't do it, or because it's even better for the team because you're too much of a distraction or you won't be focused. I understand that argument. I also understand the argument. There's a job to do. One thing doesn't have to do with the other, and you try to do your job. I get both arguments. Mike in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
I just want to make a comment about the greatest of all time. I think Tom Brady, I think what make him the greatest of all time would be the fact that he is the leader that he is. I coached high school football for 45 years, and we won several state championships here in Texas, and it was mainly because of the leadership of our quarterbacks. And I think that what Tom Brady does is he takes who he is and he transfers that into all of his teammates. They become better because they watch him become the best he can be. And he just requires the same commitment, determination, and work ethic from all of these other people. Every time I listen to people that are playing with him, when they talk about him, they talk about his value that's on the practice field and in that locker room. And I think that's where he is. That's why he's great.
I agree. By the way, yes, I agree with that. And it's very difficult to isolate value in football. It's so interdependent. You're so dependent on the pieces around you. That correlation may be the best we can do. And if Tom Brady shows up and you correlate that with Super Bowl wins, that is to his credit. That redounds to his, like, you know, that enhances his reputation for good reason. It's one of the reasons everyone, you don't look at win-loss records for quarterbacks. No, not when Deshaun Watson wins 4 games and balls out of control on a terrible team, a dysfunctional team. That's true. There are exceptions. Sometimes a good quarterback's on a bad team or a bad quarterback's on a good team. But by and large, I actually like win-loss records for quarterbacks, particularly if you just think, if you look at the roster and you go, that's a pretty good roster. They have a competent head coach, a functional organization. Yeah, I think one loss records make a difference, are important. Mahomes is 14-1 this year. Mahomes was heading into this game, what, 26-1 in his last 27? In the NFL! Dude, playoffs and World and Super Bowl in the NFL! The NFL! You know how hard that is? Brady beat him. Brady handed him his only two playoff losses. Well, that's because of the X, Y, and Z. Yeah, I get it. But correlation may be the best we can do. It is so hard to isolate quarterback value because of all the things you just mentioned. And you correlate the Super Bowl wins with Tom Brady far more than with any other player in the history of the NFL, making him the GOAT. What made the difference in the Bucs win yesterday? Was it Brady? Last take, your take is next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com.
And it's now official. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won Super Bowl 55. The first time they've won the Super Bowl for 18 years since John Gruden and Brad Johnson helped them win Super Bowl 37.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Credit BBC Radio. Thuggish, ruggish bone. To this day, no one's made a song sounds this good. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. By the way, when you gift a year of ESPN Plus, gift a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Surprise the sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/gift-a-year for more details. By the way, I got to say, I know I work for the company. Take it with a grain of salt if you want. I'm doing that. I'm gifting a year of ESPN Plus to people I know who don't have it. It's the best value in sports. It's unbelievable. Raj, have you watched Details with Joe Montana yet on ESPN Plus? Have you watched the fight library? You know, you have access to all the fights and MMA and everything. It's unbelievable. It's like ESPN Insider, only a whole universe of programming. It's amazing. All right, anyway. Let's do this.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Nick in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Go. Nick in California. Todd in Texas. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Go ahead.
I got a couple of points for you. I think it's ludicrous just to mention Mahomes in the same sense with Brady. I've never been a Brady fan, but you know, like Ric Flair said, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady is the man. And Mahomes yesterday, he just didn't have enough experience underneath his belt. And everybody talks about how good he was running around, you know, doing this. But two things can happen. You're wasting time, and he's going to get clocked. I mean, Dominican.
But what did you want him to do? Like, I understand that. Like, get rid of the ball quick. Like, Brady throws a little five-yard pass in that situation, and everyone's like, oh, my God, he keeps moving the chains. It's not as spectacular as Mahomes, but it's more effective. But in that case, no one was open.
Throw the ball out of bounds.
Okay, but it's not like he was losing yards, getting sacked, and giving up 20 yards. The running around behind the line of scrimmage actually was just buying time, and then he got three touchdown passes off that hit three different receivers, either in the face or the hands, and they dropped them. He was incredible. I agree, though. Mahomes, so far as eye-popping as he is, you know, three AFC championship games, two Super Bowl appearances, one championship in his first 3 years. Amazing. The only two playoff losses, both to Brady. You can't compare him to Brady yet. That is true. Matt in Boston, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I appreciate you taking the call. Listen, you compared last night a lot to the 2000 Giants, and I think there's a more apt comparison. Last night, an offense that the entire country thought was unstoppable, led by the best quarterback in the league, was shut down by an underdog four-man rush. And for some reason, this is viewed as a blemish for Brady, but somehow elevates Mahomes. That's what I don't understand.
Well, I'll say this. The difference is, the reason it doesn't remind me of that, is the Giants' pass rush was excellent. And Spagnuolo did a great job as D coordinator. But it was a close, tough game. And going in, the difference here was it's not like the Patriots were dealing with the offensive line in shambles and they were barely winning. They were killing everybody. The Chiefs' offensive line was in shambles, and I thought they should have been the underdogs. The reason it reminds me more of Ravens-Giants in 2001 is it was a blowout. It was not close. And by the way, there were some calls by the refs that made it snowball, but I'm not claiming the result would have been different. It's not. Brady's lost two Super Bowls to Eli and one to Nick Foles, in which he threw 500 yards. He is the GOAT for a reason. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Sinead and Golic Jr. coming up. See you tomorrow.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.